Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. So if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've been talking about the armor of God that all believers are equipped with through faith in Jesus Christ. On Monday, we talked about the belt of truth. Yesterday, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Today, we're going to talk about what happens with our feet. In verse 15 of Ephesians 6, Paul wrote this, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace."
They've been shod.
Yes, they have. But we're to be prepared to share this good news. And God does reign. And Paul, when he talks about this, he always has other things that have been written in the past in mind. Like in Isaiah 52:7, it says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns." And that's the news that we can share in this battle, in this spiritual warfare. We have a God that does reign, a God that is in control. And that equips us, that prepares us to move forward with that message, that good news message, so that others that can receive him and receive that new life. Andrew, we certainly are glad you're with us today. How have you in your working with people seen this spiritual armor in effect?
Well, I mean, you're talking about the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, you know, we've got a pretty powerful gospel, and yet it's a very offensive gospel to a lot of people. And so you think about even communicating the very truths that we love to talk about on this program. I mean, you could come into someone's life and just, you know, do what I call the grace in your face approach, shoving grace down people's throats, whether they want to hear it or not, and trying to correct people's theology and dicing up their belief systems and trying to help people that don't want help and just stirring up everything except peace. Or you could realize, you know, my own security in this message is not about convincing other people to agree with me. My security comes from understanding the finished work of Christ and that Jesus did something and it really was effective. And I can rest in that personally and then help people who want help. Don't help people who don't want help. Don't try to force things. You know, Paul talks about evangelism even, and he says, you know, do it with respect and gentleness. And, you know, so there's just an attitude adjustment that we make, Bob, I think, when we begin to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's peace with God. That's what we're sharing. But how about peace with other people as we do it?
Yeah, I think that's keen insight right there, Andrew, and thanks for sharing that. But we want to talk about this armor that we have, this battle, this warfare, this that goes on, how we can stand in the midst of that. If you have questions, we would love to hear from you right now, 1-800-677-9377. This conversation has sparked a lot of interest over the last several days. We've had quite a number of calls, quite a number of questions. Very good conversation, and we'd like to have more of that today. So go ahead and call right now. Also, a reminder to our listeners, we have a special offer this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape, The Art of Spiritual War, is our gift to you as an expression of our thankfulness for standing with us in sharing this good news. So make a contribution today. Join this Basic Gospel team, and we want to honor you with that by sending you Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape.
As Bob said, available for a gift of any amount, and you can find a prominent link right on the homepage of our website, basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 to make your request and make your gift. Again, 1-800-727-2828 for Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to New Orleans and talk with Ann listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing fine, thanks.
I call you quite often, and I've listened quite a bit. I really appreciate your program, but I got a little disappointed yesterday. Just, I think it was your last call. A gentleman called in and was talking about his girlfriend had gotten into the Pentecostal church, which is the church I belong to. And there was quite a few, I felt like very few harsh things said about our beliefs. And what I appreciate about your program, I never thought it was about Pentecostal or Baptist or anything like that. We just talk about God, about the Bible. And I just felt that, well, I was disappointed. It sounded like y'all were lambasting my church. And that really disappointed me.
Well, and what the caller was talking about was the legalism that he experienced in those churches that he attended. That was the issue at hand, not Pentecostalism or anything else. It was just legalism.
He called that name several times.
Yeah.
He did.
Well, those were the churches that he went to, and that's where he encountered legalism. I went to a Methodist church. I encountered legalism there. A lot of people have gone to Baptist churches and encountered legalism there.
You can find it anywhere.
Right. So that was the issue at hand. And if legalism is being taught, it doesn't matter what denomination, that is a tragedy. And it's not the gospel. It's not the good news of Jesus Christ. No one can earn their way to heaven. No one can earn God's love and acceptance.
That.
And so that's what
we do have. And I understand. Please understand, I'm not arguing at all.
Right, right. I was just pointing out what his point was about the legalism.
Well, I know there's a lot of misunderstanding about a lot of things we believe in all, but that's just one thing I really appreciate about your program. It's not, I'm right, you're wrong, you know what I'm trying to say. It's not, like I say, it's not about Baptist or Pentecostal or Baptist or anything. It's the Word of God, which is the way it should be.
Well, I agree, Ann.
Maybe I was a little too touchy. I felt like y'all were basically lambasting my church, and it disappointed me.
But I appreciate
the program. You're very forthright, and I just thank you for your help, okay?
Well, thank you, Ann. Andrew, did you have something you wanted to share?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, one thing I've always appreciated about the program and now being a part of it is that you guys – we're not in the business of singling out an individual church or even an individual pastor. I mean, it would be very rare that someone would call with a question about an individual, and then you'd sort of be forced to give your own opinion. But it's so rare that we would ever single out a church or even a denomination, and really this kind of came at the hands of someone else. But, it just kind of reminds you that you're right. It doesn't matter what flavor of Christianity we've come from. There's still the flesh. There's the flavor of Christianity, and then there's just the flesh. And the flesh can be very religious and very legalistic, and that can happen in any denomination.
Yes, indeed. Well, Ann, we certainly appreciate you and appreciate your call to the program today. Thank you so much.
And plenty of open lines. If you have a question for us, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock. Want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 800-677-9377.
Let's go to Elizabeth listening to us on WMCA in New Jersey. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello there. My question is Genesis 3, when the serpent spoke to Eve. Now, the Bible says we're created in God's image, therefore we can reason and we have intellect. Now, how could a serpent reason about God?
Well, I don't think the serpent was trying to reason with her about God. I think the serpent was trying to deceive her, which he eventually did. And he deceived her by making that tree look very appealing. And that's what he does in all of our lives. He tries to make the things of the world, the things of the flesh, sin, appealing to us.
But he's a serpent. He how can he do that? Mm. He's a beast. He's not human.
Well, yeah, I see the crux of your question there. I think ultimately, you know, there's humans and there's animals, but we're looking at a supernatural instance here. You know, we, of course, teach that the serpent is an expression of Satan, is an appearance of Satan on planet Earth. So, you know, it's not your typical garden snake in your backyard here. This is thousands of years ago, a special appearance of Satan coming not as an angel of light here, but as a serpent specifically. And so we're not talking about the intellect of a snake. We're talking about the intellect of the deceiver.
So in other words, you're saying that the Satan entered the serpent. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wasn't in the garden, and it's all speculation, but I would say you're left with the idea of Satan entering into a snake or Satan sort of appearing in the form of a snake. We know that angels can take a certain form, and maybe in the garden Satan took a certain form for a short period of time, or, you know, it's tough to make that call because we weren't there.
So in other words, he was not able to speak to her, but in a movement or the coloring of him or something that worked in her imagination and the temptation, she acted out. Is that what you're saying?
You know, I don't think I'm saying that exactly. I would lean more towards that there were actual words uttered and that they were the words that were recorded in Genesis, and that she didn't imagine it or sort of intuit it. I think that... most likely there was a verbal exchange, as Genesis talks about. Yeah,
I see. Because I keep reading it, and the Bible doesn't say that Satan entered the serpent, so that would be speculation if I thought that. So I thought, well, maybe her imagination was overworked, and she just acted it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was not born from, she was not created from the earth. She's a branch of Adam, so her direct knowledge is not really direct. It's an extension of Adam. Isn't that so?
Well, you know, of course, we believe that men and women are equal. There's a creation story, but women are no less able to, you know, sort of process a message.
Yeah.
You know, I think ultimately we have to say that, you know, basic gospel, we believe that the story in Genesis truly happened as it's recorded, and that a real verbal exchange occurred. And we don't know the details of how Satan pulled that off or how God pulled off what he did in every instance. But we just sometimes we have to take some of those details by faith.
So in other words, I should just take it literally the way it's written.
Yeah, I don't know of any other way to take it without having been there or without God supernaturally informing us of the details.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Hey, thanks, Elizabeth. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape. I think it'll be a resource that's of great interest to you.
And for those of you just joining us, we do have a copy for you for a gift of any amount to the ministry. And simply go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your copy of Operation Screwtape by Andrew Farley, who is on the broadcast with us this very day.
Yes, indeed. Well, you are listening to Basic Gospel. We're going to go to Staten Island, New York, and talk with Vincent listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, guys. First and foremost, I really want to tell you I really appreciate your ministry, and it's my honor to support you guys.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate that encouragement today. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, man. God bless you guys. I have a small question. It says that we stand holy and blameless before Christ. So how come it's constantly repeated in Scripture to be holy? You know, as it says in 1 Peter 1:16, be holy, for I am holy. So that's my question.
Mm-hmm. Well, good question, Vincent. And I think that's... that is a very significant question as far as how do we live this Christian life. You know, what should our focus be upon? And this idea of trying to make ourselves holy, I think that's going to lead to a lot of legalism. So what
right.
in the world does this passage mean, Richard and Andrew? How can we live out this holiness that we've been called to?
Do holy. And, okay, my mic was not working. We're called to be holy, not do holy. So that takes it away from legalism already. So what we're called to is to be completely dedicated, set apart for God's use. Whatever he chooses to do in and through us is what we're called to.
And he's already done that.
And he's already done that in Jesus and declared us to be his and declared us to be holy. He sanctified us, justified us, given us life. And so now, under the new covenant, we just get to live that out, to discover what it is that God is going to be doing with us and through us by the Holy Spirit.
It's a significant point, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, Hebrews 10:10 tells us that we have been made holy, all right? So what I like to tell folks is that that's a me verse. It's about me as a person. Hebrews 10:10 says that you have been made holy by one offering. And then you go over to Peter, as you quote, Peter is saying, be holy in all of your behavior. So there's me, and then there's what I do. Now, holiness is just being reserved for God. So you have been reserved for God. You belong to God. You're in his trophy case. You're a saint. You're holy. You're reserved. But not all of your attitudes and actions are reserved for him. We're growing in our knowledge of him, and our mind is being renewed. So there's me verses, and then there's behavior verses. Hebrews 10:10 says you, as a person, have been made holy. And then you turn right around and you look at Peter, and he's talking about your behavior. Well, that's a work in progress.
Right. Okay, sounds good.
Well, thank you, Vincent. Thank you for the call. Did that help?
Yeah, that was great, man. It kind of reminded me of Galatians 5, where it says, do not carry out the desires of the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit.
Yeah,
so exactly. That kind of like can relate to that, right? You know, walking in the Spirit and walking by faith.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's offering yourself as a living sacrifice. It's walking by faith in Jesus. All of that is evidence of the fact of what Christ has done, the fact that he has made you holy, the fact that he has set you apart for his use. And your response to that is to say, okay, I'm making myself available for you to live your life in and through me. That is the great mystery of this gospel that Paul has revealed to us. And you can guaranteed that if Christ is living his life out through you, it's a holy life.
Right. So it's up to us to be willing to let God work through us, you know, seek his kingdom first and everything will be added.
Well, it's that walk of faith. It's simply abiding in him. That's all it is.
And I just want to thank you guys for that book, The Hurt and the Healer, man. That's one of my favorite books, and I'm actually halfway through God's Favorite Place on Earth, and it's another really great book. So I really appreciate you guys.
Well, you are welcome, Vincent, and glad you're part of the Basic Gospel team. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. And Vincent, hold the line. We are going to put you on hold. I want our operator to pick you up and get some information because we have something we'd like to send you by email.
Well, let's go to Bloomfield, New Jersey, and talk to Navarre. Hi, Navarre.
Yes. God bless you. Real quick, my question is, I hear legalism, and I just want you to define what is legalism, and do you think that a church is encouraging women to wear skirts and not eating illegally?
Okay, Navarre, I think that's a good question. What is the definition of legalism? Andrew, how do you define that?
Well, you've got folks who have said we need to work for our salvation, and then you've got folks who've said we need to work for our growth. And so those are two different concepts. Maybe we have already hung one of those up and said, forget that, I'm not going to earn my salvation. But now that I'm saved by grace, I'm going to earn my growth. I'm going to work hard to please God, and then, I'm going to grow by human effort. And so, you know, it kind of leads into the last question about being holy. If you don't make a divorce between who you are and what you do, then you are going to think, gosh, I am progressively getting holier as I, you know, work on myself here. And so I'm working on myself and I'm going to progressively, little by little, get holier and holier. And that's legalism. No, you're made holy by the sacrifice of Jesus, not by, you know, doing your Bible study and going to church and talking about him. So although those can be wonderful things, they don't make you holier. So legalism would say that you're progressively going to get holy by what you do, and that God is going to, you know, either progressively like you more or be closer to you when you act right. And so it's like God in a swivel chair. I mean, his face is toward you when you act nice, and when you blow it, he turns away. And that's, man, that's no way to live. That'll kill you.
And that's where this topic is so relevant today as far as spiritual warfare, because that's what we always have to guard against, because our normal natural tendency is toward legalism. We're all natural-born legalists. Why? Because fear was implanted into our hearts and souls just at birth. Just as Adam and Eve were afraid after they sinned, they were afraid of God, they were afraid of punishment. They've passed that on to every one of us. So we're naturally fearful of God's punishment. And we try to do anything and everything in our power to hold off that punishment, to delay it or whatever. That's legalism. And we have to be discerning about that. Religion wants to take us right back into legalism. But that's where we have to take our stand on this gospel. We have to wear this armor of God. And we have to recognize that we have peace with God, that we're no longer at war with him. We truly are at peace with him. That's the significant truth. Back in Paul's day, legalism was the number one problem in the church. Guess what? It's still the number one problem in the church today. And as long as we're here, it's still going to be the number one problem in the church. And that's why we need this armor of God. Well, let's go to Mount Vernon, New York, and talk with Oscar listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Oscar.
Yes, sir. Hi. Yeah. What does it mean to be unequally yoked? Does that mean that a Lutheran cannot marry a Jehovah's Witness or a Baptist kind of married Muslim?
Well, that the big picture of that verse is partnerships. And you don't want to be in partnership with somebody that is not equally yoked with you. Why? Because there's going to be problems. The best application of it is certainly within marriage. If a believer marries a non-believer, you've got issues right at the outset. Because how are you going to solve those problems?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. So okay, I think it's an important thing.
Yes.
Well, Oscar, thanks for your call today. God bless. Well, boy, this time just flies by, doesn't it?
Yes.
But as far as this armor of God, it is so important to realize that we're already outfitted with that, that as a believer in Christ, that's what we're standing in. And we just have to get our minds engaged in that, to recognize that we do have truth around us. We do have a breastplate of righteousness. We do have feet shod with the gospel of peace. We have all of this armor, and that armor allows us to stand firmly in God's love and grace.
Without question. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Please remember that Basic Gospel is totally listener-supported, and we need your ongoing help to keep the program on the air. For your gift of any amount today, we have a copy of Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. And all you need to do to get yours is go online to basicgospel.net. You'll see the prominent link on the homepage, or call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828, for Andrew's book, Operation Screwtape, and to support the ministry. A reminder that all the resources that we talk about on Basic Gospel are available through our store at basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. And if you like what you hear each day on this broadcast, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about the program. To review what you hear each day on this broadcast, be sure to also join our email list. You'll receive an email each day with a link to the most recent broadcast. Just click subscribe when you visit basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, For Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team here at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.